Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. And I just wanted to wish you well. Henrietta, how are you?
I'm just wonderful, Glenn. I have so much to share. much to share. Yeah, I'm doing well. Coming from an event, a historical event here in Chicago. One of the ministers who is just really big in gospel music made his transition, and so there's been this weekend, I should say week long, but it's been Friday, Saturday, and Sunday celebration, and it has me so present to our African tradition, you know. It's just real, real interesting, but, you know, I'll talk about it more a little bit later as Chicago celebrates Father Hayes, his name is. They refer to him as Father Hayes, but he's a musician, a minister, whatever, started so many different choirs and things. And if you remember, maybe about 2 years ago, there was a remix of Jesus Is Gonna Work It Out. Well, that was his church and his choir that released that. And it went to number one in like record time. It was just a remake of an old hymn, Jesus Is Gonna Work It Out. And so every church has been celebrating with his church one day, either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So it's been a real, real interesting experience as, like I said, Chicago celebrates the transition of Father Hayes. So, I'll get more into detail about it, you know, later on in the show and about our tradition. But as we always do, Glenn, if we could start our show with the declaration of the International Black Summit, and we'll do that, and then we'll share a little bit about Belize. And I don't know if Shakesha's going to call in and give us an update on Belize, or Salima maybe give us an update on Belize. But I'll check with them, you know, if while we're doing the declaration.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, let me get started then. Sounds wonderful. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, February 23rd, 2014. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. All righty. So, as you heard, we are going to Belize. Are y'all going? Hope so, because it's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be very, very interesting. We've been out of the country before. We were out of the country last year, as a matter of fact. And we were in Ottawa, Canada last year. And this year we're going to be in Central America, Belize, Belize City in Belize. What we're going to be doing is the first weekend in August, as we normally do, July 31st to August 3rd. So those are the dates that we're going to be there. And you want to begin to take a look at the travel. Check out our website at www.blacksummit.org and really have an idea of what's going on. At our website, we've got all the information. And go for it there. Are you back, Henrietta? Okay. She's still hooking up, hooking some folks in, having some conversations. And I attended a service today and hadn't acknowledged it the last 2 weeks, but I wanted to speak to a homecoming service for Joyce and Ezekiel. And she is a friend of the family from the South American country of Guyana, and she made her transition. It was a lovely service, and visited the church of the St. Albans Congregational Church, which she was a member, and they had Unity Day, which is a day where people come in and present their country's delicacies. And so they had grits. We saw South Carolina had their grits and sausages and biscuits. I didn't partake because I don't eat sausages, but I did have some of the grits. And they had a of course, they had the Guyanese table there. They had a Haitian table and a Jamaican table. The Jamaican table, I guess, we're going to be doing a full meal, but after the later service. So I went to the early service, 8 o'clock service, and so it was breakfast time, about 10 o'clock, and did not wait around for the second edition, but thought there might be well worthwhile. You know, it's interesting, the world is so small. They have a family life center building, which is right next to the church. Now, I've been going to this life center for at least 4 years, maybe even 5, and but never been to the church and the service at the church. So it was kind of eerie, actually being in the life family life center without being there for a meeting. So anyway, just wanted to share that and share what a lovely time I had at the event. And
Glenn, what was the event again? I didn't hear the name of it.
It was called World Unity Day. So what they do at the pavilion, at the family center, everybody sets up tables from the different countries and they share their cuisine.
Oh, okay.
And of course, everybody had on their best, brightest,
uh-huh,
and flashiest African gear, and I'm telling
yeah.
you, the ladies were decked out, okay? They
yeah.
were not playing.
I know.
And some of the men had the dashikis and the and the African cloth shirts on, and it was quite colorful. Some of the men had the suits on and then had the scarves, you know, with the different kente cloth and so forth. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was very nice, very nice, nice event. I was glad
that
I went.
Was a good, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, it almost sounds like the taste of Chicago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can kind of get that kind of thing going on at the taste. All the different countries really are represented. And their cuisine, they don't, you know, it's not set up that way, but you can walk around and wherever you're from or whatever kind of food you want to taste, it's available from whatever country, you know.
Well, I must admit, I took my little Ziploc case, but it wasn't appropriate, so I left it in the bag.
Okay.
But I was ready.
You were ready. Yeah,
I was ready. It really was a tasting because they had the little itty bitty place and they really didn't have a lot of food. So
okay.
I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna show my color.
Oh my goodness, that's funny. Just in case. Just in case.
So I had to be satisfied with just a little taste, and so I was, and it was good enough for me.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's real good. Well, I want to talk about a part of our heritage that I kind of got present to tonight. And this is after the third day of this homegoing. You know, the church refers to it as this particular church, which is Cosmopolitan House of Prayer, refers to it as a homegoing, and they celebrate up for three straight days. Now, when I was in Nigeria working, same thing. I remember one of the ladies I was working with, someone in her tribe passed away, and she had to leave. We were on tour. She had to leave the tour and go back to her village because she said she had to dance. And she had to dance, she said, for three straight days. Straight days, nonstop. And that was a part of their culture. And so I was just looking at this. This on top of, I don't know, did I mention to you last Sunday that one of the Black Panthers here in Chicago made their transition, and I went to that service, and the Illinois Black Panther Party was there? Did I share that with you, Glenn?
I don't remember.
I don't think I did. No, because we had the women's the Gold Rush Women's conference on last week. So I didn't get a chance to share that with you, but on Saturday, last Saturday, a week ago, her name is Christina May, and she was one of the accountants for the Black Panther Party, and she passed away, and her celebration was at the South Shore Country Club, which is in the heart of the city, but it's right on the lake at 71st. I think you've been there before, Glenn, because we talked about it. It's a golf course and everything that sits right on the lake. But it's, you know, it's on the south side of Chicago in the African-American community. So that's where her memorial service and the Illinois Black Panther Party was there because she was, you know, she was a part of that party and was involved, you know, had to go underground and all of that kind of stuff and came back and, you know, raised her daughter and her grandchildren. I mean, you know, a legacy and just helped so many people because she was a brilliant and many of the politicians spoke and a couple of them talked about how they would try to indict them for small amounts of money, $5,000 or something like that. And she would always be the one who could, you know, just say, no, that they can't do that, you know, and she would make things right for them, you know. So she was a very influential, you know, person on a lot of different levels, just did a lot for the community and everything. And so that celebration was Saturday. And at her celebration, when the Illinois Black Panther Party stood up, the people, it was just like, you know, it was like one of those summit moments that I talk about where they were so good. And these are the Panthers from the 60s and the 70s. And the men still had on the black tams. But, of course, they were winter tams because it's cold as hell. But just, you know, they just stood up. Just strong, and people started screaming out, power to the people, and raising their arms and their fists, you know, like just like today. It was just one of those moments where people just celebrated the Black Panthers, you know. And so at that service, her daughter and her granddaughter are spoken word people. You know, traditionally, you know, if you have dancers or singers in your family, you know, people will do that. But her two, you know, her daughter and her granddaughter, they actually wrote spoken word pieces about her. And they were just, you know, like taking pieces that they wrote. And so I was looking at how we celebrate there, you know, Maggie Brown, Oscar Brown Jr. Do you remember Oscar Brown Jr. and Signifying Monkey? Do you remember Oscar Brown from Chicago, Glenn?
I know I do because it sounds familiar. Okay. I'm not sure. But both of those things that you mentioned, Signifying Monkey and I'm sure I do. It just is not coming to me crisp.
If you heard it, because it was like, there was music, but he was really speaking. But his daughter, Maggie Brown, she did the music. She and Sean, you know, Sean is our friend who comes on the show often. They did the music, and the percussionist, I'm not sure of Coco's last name, but Coco, a female percussionist. It was just really nice. And so she got up, Coco actually got up and did a Yoruba principle during the service. And it was about how there was a certain time during the day, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, children sat down with the elders and the elders told them stories. And and so when she spoke the principal, then she asked if anyone in the audience heard anything, you know, and someone.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, very spiritual.
Yeah, and someone, actually it was my friend who was sitting on my left and her daughter on my right, and I'm talking to adults, you know, the adults, the daughter and the mother. And the daughter stood up and said, I mean, the mother said, we were just talking about that this morning. And then the daughter said, she turned to me and she said, Mama and I were just talking about this morning. So I said, well, stand up, you know. And so she stood up and she said, my mother and I were just talking about how we need to sit down and listen to the elders so they can tell us things, you know, that we don't know.
Wow.
And
wow.
And so that was just like, it was so powerful. Then someone else spoke and someone else spoke, you know. So it was just a moment in the memorial service where they stopped to presence this, you know. And it was powerful. You know, I think we're moving into these non-traditional celebrations that are more than mourning. You know, there were a lot of tears and a lot of crying and, you know, when the Mantu dancers, when they, you know, danced and things like that. I mean, there were moments, just like in the summit, there were those moments where, you know, people just cry. You just cry. And then there are moments where you're laughing and you're getting it and whatever. And so that was that day, last Saturday. And it talked about all the things that the Black Panther Party used to do. And which a lot of the young adults and even the teenagers have no knowledge of. They've heard of it, but they have no knowledge of it, you know. And so firsthand,
yeah.
here there were 10, 12 Black Panthers right there, you know. So I asked one of them if he would allow an interview, if he would come on the show and do an interview. And he said that he would. And I also asked him if he would allow my goddaughter, who's 13, to interview him because she's doing a paper on Huey Newton. And he said I'd be honored to, you know. So it's like all we have to do is ask. That's all. You know, we just have to ask. And whatever it is that we need, whatever it is that we need is available to us, you know. And so then, let's fast forward to Friday. So Father G. Hayes is the minister, and if you Google him, it'll just tell you all kind of stuff. He was the one who started a lot of the gospel music traditions here in Chicago. He's from Alabama. But he came to Chicago, and he, I think, would be considered a spiritualist, you know. And the people at the service talked about how segregated even the Black churches were when back in the day when he first came, because the spiritualist were not supposed to worship with the Church of God in Christ. And the church of, you know, and one thought the other was the devil, okay? They weren't allowed as children to go into the other churches. And so it took this group of people to become adults who were music lovers and who were, you know, appreciated the music that was going on in all of the churches. And of course the music, and this is me telling the story, that the music actually brought churches together. And now all of the churches in Chicago, well, not all of them, many of the churches in Chicago worship with each other. And they're totally different denominations of Christianity. You know, I mean, totally different. Church of God in Christ, Baptist, Spiritualist, New Thought, they all worship together now because the musicians know each other. they play in Chicago when a musician makes his transition. And Father Hicks was a singer. He was a vocalist as well as a musician. He played piano. A musician passes away. They have a ritual, and they have a musical on one day. A musical is a very long event. You can kind of come and go if you please. But if you have a choir, if you have a group, if you have a band, you go wherever the musical is, and your name is like added to the list, and you as a tribute, you sing, or you play, or you dance, or you do whatever, you know, whatever you do. And so you can, this event actually started at, I think, 7 o'clock on Friday, and I think it was over right before midnight. They came from everywhere. This all different states, not just in Chicago. People flew in from New York, and they flew in, you know, ministers who have been trained under Father Hayes and gone on to start their own churches or take positions at other churches. You know, they came in to honor a lot of the Grammy Award winners in gospel music, and a lot of the Stella Award winners were there. And the choirs, they just kept coming and kept coming. It's interesting, Glenn, because we know how to, quote-unquote, send someone off. You know, the body lied, you know, it lied in state for 13 hours from 11 a.m. that morning until midnight. And there were two ushers always standing at the foot and at the head of the casket. The casket remained open the entire time of the musical, and the people just came. I mean, they just came and left and came and left. The Barrett sisters, just name it. Any group that you could think of. And if they didn't come, they sent videos with statements.
Wow.
You know, the Hawkins family, the just different people. And it's a Chicago kind of tradition. That's the way they do it. And all of the musicians from all of the different churches, they're sitting either in the choir stand or close to it, or they're sitting in the first few rows of the church, and they take turns playing. You know, they have mass choirs, like two or three churches might put choirs together and sing certain songs. And the sound is incredible because there's 200 voices just about all the time. They're, you know, 200 voices or more. You know, I mean, sometimes they have quartets or small groups like that. But a lot of the mass choirs, like Chicago Mass Choir, and then the McDonald's Choir, and this choir, and that, you know, and they come and they sing the songs that he wrote, or, you know, they do tributes to him, or songs that he loved. And it was just amazing. So that was on Friday. And one of the things that I noticed was not only do we pay tribute to people, we dress to the nines when we go to these events. You don't go in there. You don't see anybody in there. I saw one person in jeans, one, and he was a part of the sound crew. And, you know, he did a lot of the setup work. He was the only person in there that had on jeans and a shirt, you know, and a sweater. Everybody else was dressed. The men had on suits and ties. I don't care if they were 14 years old or if they were 94 years old. They had on suits and ties. And the women were dressed. And his choir and his members had on white. and everybody else was, they were dressed like not formally dressed, but semi-formally dressed. You know, the men, everybody's hair was cut. You know, this is no joke. I mean, freshly cut. The suits, you know, the best of everything people had on. And they paid tribute and they honored. And there were times where all of the radio personalities here in Chicago were there. And they also take turns emceeing the celebration. So it's not a lot on one person. And so, you know, somebody might take this 20 minutes, somebody else take the next 20 minutes, and, you know, and they just rotate like that. And every once in a while, they would just stop and say, okay, let's get this shout out. And that music would start, and people would start to dance. That organ would hit those chords, and people would just dance. I mean, they would just dance and clap and dance and clap, and just till they got it out of their system, screamed and hollered, then they go right back to the tributes, okay? They go right back to the resolutions that people had sent. Rahm Emanuel came, and he didn't get there till about 11 o'clock that night. And he had been to a high school basketball game, Whitney Young, which is my daughter's alma mater, and I'm not sure what the other school was, but it was like the championship game. And he had been there. So he came in about 11 o'clock. You know, and they kept saying, you know, the mayor's going to be here. And when he comes, you know, we'll just let him come because he's, you know, he's on a tight schedule. We'll let him come up whenever he comes, you know. It was really, really interesting and enjoyable because everybody was just loving and kind and nice and generous and empathetic, you know, empathetic and just, standing in acknowledgement of great work that this man has done for gospel music and for many, many ministers, have trained many, many ministers and singers, you know, just hundreds of singers. And so as they acknowledged him and the work that he did, I got present to our communities being whole and complete, you know, just being whole and being complete. People were double parked for 2 and 3 blocks outside of the church, and the police did not bother them, you know. And they probably, you know, like let the police know. But they, you know, there was no problem. They just, you know, allowed everybody to celebrate. They had food. If you were hungry, you could go to another part of the church and eat and then come back. You know, it was just a wonderful celebration because the people, the members of that church had been there, literally been there all day. And so, but it was, you know, it was just open to the public. And that was on Friday. Let me just stop and say this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we're going to Belize this year. So please go to blacksummit.org and find out information about Belize, our annual summit event, 2014 is in Belize. And we're sharing, because this is our last Sunday in Black History Month, And you're listening to a share about celebration of people's transition, people, ministers, and musicians and how they're celebrated when they transition culturally. You know, it's interesting because I can remember, funerals, we used to call them funerals, now we call them transition service. You know, they've always had a way of bringing people together. But I notice when there's someone who has done something great for the community, everybody feels an obligation to go and to acknowledge. You know, I've been to Father Hayden's church many times in my lifetime, you know, and but he would not know my name, maybe. I'm going to say that. He may or may not. But it didn't even matter. You know, it wasn't even about that. It was about going and celebrating with his church family and with his family, you know. And you just go and you let the family know you're there, let them know what church you're from, and you just join the celebration. You just join the celebration and however you do it. If you want to write a tribute, you know, they had so many emails that came in, they just couldn't read them all, you know. And they said over the 3 days that they would acknowledge all of them. But the music just continued and continued. And so at the end of the musical, and this is, like I said, a cultural celebration, after the last choir sang, they asked if everyone would, you know, kind of leave the sanctuary except for members of his choir. And there, they were able to say their goodbyes in the traditional way that they do. And and then they, you know, removed the body, the remains. And, you know, everybody kind of had their moment. And they had it at a larger church because there were so many people. Their church was not large enough to hold all of the choirs and whatever. So, of course, a larger church opened their door, you know. And so people got there however they could get there. And afterwards, this is what I thought was just so nice. The girl sitting next to me asked me if I was going her way, and I was. And so as I waited for her, because she was a part of, you know, their choir, as I waited for her, there was another lady who was walking, and she said, "I'm looking for somebody who's going such and such a place." And I was going her way, too. So I had the opportunity to drop two people off, you know. And all they did was ask. They just asked. And I just happened to be, well, you know, nothing just happened. But that's what kind of, you know, celebration it was. That's what kind of crowd it is, where you can just ask, comfortably ask for what you need, knowing that it's going to be provided for you, you know. And so yesterday, which was Saturday, they had the actual service. And I did not attend the service because I had to go and do the service myself. And I had I had a workshop and an art exhibit that was opening at our church, and we had two seminars going on at our church. So I had all of that to do, and so I did that. And then what I did was today they had two more musicals where their choir sang, and they had one at 11 o'clock and they had one at 5 o'clock. And so I went to the one at 5 o'clock. And I just, when I walked in, I just thought about these people, you know, someone who, this is the founder of their church. And I think it was in, he founded the church in the 60s. And so having been with someone for all of that time, I looked, and nobody was sad. You know, they weren't sad. And you know why they weren't sad, Glenn? It's because they were dancing. They were dancing. And they kept dancing. You know, they just kept dancing. They kept that music rocking. They would sing slow songs. When they moved back to those fast songs, everybody, I mean, just everybody was dancing. The little bitty kids were dancing. You know, the older people were dancing. You know, I mean, the seniors, people in their 80s and 90s, they were just dancing. And the people in the choir, just all of a sudden, just one at a time, they would just start to dance. And the people would just, and they would just dance and got it out, you know. And I just thought that that was such a way to celebrate a person. And, you know, it's another opportunity or alternative way of mourning, you know. It's just to dance and just to keep music going. And I just thought, you know, like one of the ways that we could change or alter the conversation of who we are is rather than to mourn something, to celebrate it. You know, just to celebrate it and get it, just dance it out of your system. It reminded me of last year when we were in Ottawa, and it was like the 1 year anniversary of Ed Devon's transition. And that Sunday morning, when I was preparing for the Sunday service that we have at the annual summit event, Clara Devon, Ed's wife, walks up to me and she says, I want to dance. And I said, okay. I said, do you have a particular music that you want to dance off of? She said, no, I just want to dance. She said, I need to dance. Okay. And so I had this song that, you know, Conrad and I were, you know, that I had taken to Conrad because he's a music facilitator. And it was by B.B. Winans. And if you get a chance to listen to it, it's called Everything Must Change. But it's an arrangement that Quincy Jones did for B.B. Winans. And so I told Claire that's what I was going to play. She really didn't care. She just needed to dance. And so after, you know, after the lesson was done, you know, put that song on, and Claire started doing a praise dance. And Niyamo, who's an African dancer, joined her. And then Ongaza joined the two of them. And it was take your breath away. You never, you know, people didn't know that it wasn't choreographed. They didn't know that it wasn't planned. You know, it was one of those summit moments, that annual summit event, summit moment 2013. That's what it was. And it's next time you are with Joyce, ask her to show it to you because she has it. She taped it. But it was cool. it was really something. I was reminded of that tonight with the dancing, with all the people dancing that you. Sometimes, culturally, we have to dance things out of us. We just have to dance it out, you know. And Friday, okay, one more story, Glenn. Last Friday, which was Valentine's Day, Sean was featured with this group. I can't think of the name of the group, but it was at this place, and so I went, and I watched the people come. It was on a Friday night. You know, Valentine's Day was Friday, and the people came, and it was a bring-your-own-bottle kind of place, but it was a hookah bar. you know, it was a where people had cigars and everything. But you could bring your own food, you could bring your own bottle, whatever, but the music was there. And they played every kind of music from Barry White, all kind of R&B, to blues, to jazz, to neo-soul. They did a lot of Jill Scott. They did something. And right about 30 minutes, now they were only supposed to do one set, which is 45 minutes. They played for 3 straight hours. You have got to hear Sean play. You know, you hear him speak all the time, but you got to, next time you're in Chicago or next time he's in New York, you've got to hear him play. The guy who was singing, vocalist, said, "We've done everything except for house music." And when he said that, the people just went crazy. And so at first the owner was like, no, you know, like it's time to go, so-and-so. And the people were like, let's see what he got. Let's see what kind of house music he has. And Sean knows all kind of music. Like he played with Maggie Brown. And he plays from jazz. He plays everything. And so he started playing this house music. And they played nonstop for another 30, 40 minutes. And people just danced like their life depended on it, okay? Just like their life depended on it, you know? And I just thought about how dancing is so much a part of the African culture, the African-American culture, because it's like the stress reliever, you know? The one thing we can do until we feel better is dance.
Well, I wouldn't even restrict it to African American culture. I would say the African culture, because when you think about what I was just left with the whole New Orleans second line.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's a celebration. You know, the celebration, you're quiet on the way to the cemetery, but when you're coming back, it's a celebration, and it's dancing loud and vivacious. But I'm going to tell you, there's something occurred to I was talking with Bill Patterson, God bless his soul. And we were one night, you know, we were at the Brazil Summit, Warren, Bill, and I, and I think it was the Sunday night. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. We were exhausted, but we were relieved because it was over. Just looking out into Brazil, out into the water, the lights, and what we got was that drumming, that drumming is part of our DNA.
Yes,
now,
it is.
I don't care where you go.
Yes, it
if
is.
If that drum beat start getting good, people are gonna tap their foot, move their leg, and it's unconscious. It's not even something that people are present to.
Right.
And so I'm gonna say that the drum beat and music is somewhere in our DNA that we just have to respond to it. And and you're right. Sometimes that dancing, Warren used to say to me all the time, you know, his body was feeling off and it wasn't right, and he'd dance and he'd work up a sweat. And it almost was like his body would realign from the movement.
Right.
So the movement was allowing us to get ourselves in alignment, in physical alignment, as well as we're mentally and spiritually aligning when the music takes over. So there's something about that, absolutely, that is a definitely part of our history. And I want to say the other thing. I don't know this for sure, but I think that that was one of the things that helped preserve life on the ships coming, making the passage.
Mm.
Because if you notice, the one thing that we did do in the fields, in the cotton fields, was sing. You know, that was when we were the most depressed and the most disfavor. That was the thing that always lifted us up, was song. So there's something about the music, song, the drumming that has us take another form. I don't know if it's an out-of-body experience or it's part of our original, you know, original self that's being expressed on the purest level. But you're right, there is something about music.
Yeah.
People of African descent.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. I mean, it's just really something. And there were drummers at Chris's service, the Black Panther. The drummers led the family in to the service, and they led the family out. And when they, you know, it was when the people heard the drums, they stood up. Immediately they stood up, you know, and started moving.
Now we got to call the 314.
Okay.
314-381. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hello, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hi, how are you?
I was going to ask you a question. Now, what do you think about the latest report that just came out showing that in New York, Black women aborted 25% more babies than they gave birth to? Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't. Say that again.
Black women aborted about 25% more babies than they had, than what was born.
Wow.
So
no,
you get a chance.
I have not seen that.
Pull it up in one of the newspaper articles. I think it was published in January. And read that, and maybe be a good conversation. If that's going to be the trend, well, I don't know what to say. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, that's good. We can definitely, that's definitely something that we definitely want to do a show about that. Investigate that a little further. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. You all come up with some very interesting topics. Thank you for engaging us and keeping us engaged. I always love your insight. We've got only a couple of minutes left there, Henrietta.
I know. This is really real interesting. So we're moving into the month of March. You know, that's coming up. So,
by the way, isn't that Women's Month?
Yes, it is. It's Women's Month. It's March Madness. For the men. Well, not just for the men, because I have a lot of friends who enjoy March Madness. And but it's also Lent. It's the Lenten season. And you know, and so we have a lot more. We celebrate Black History 52 weeks a year. So this is the last Sunday in February, but it will not be the last Sunday because we celebrate Black History every Sunday. You know, so just think about the things that we're saying and enjoy, you know, just enjoy music and enjoy dancing if you feel stressed out this week. Just, you know, like really, put some music on and dance. Dance for an hour. You know, dance 30 minutes or
or whatever, you know, however long it takes, and celebrate, you know, celebrate yourself every day as we, you know, come out of an official, I'll say, a nationwide or worldwide celebration of Black history. But, you know, always look at the Declaration of the International Black Summit and see where you are in that declaration. There's always something in that declaration that will make you present to who you are or who you would like to be, you know, who you would like to be. I have to be what's integrity here. When the gentleman that just got off the phone brought the subject, I had a couple of triggers. I did, you know, because I thought you asked his name and he didn't respond to that. So I hope he will call back. And he did sound like the gentleman who calls.
Yeah, he calls in from time to time, yeah.
Yeah, from the St. Louis area. I think that's the area he calls from. And I was wondering where he got that information from. And it must be on the news or something. And,
yeah, he said it was in the paper.
Well, yeah,
so
it is in the paper.
Want to check it. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the paper. You can find it.
Yeah, I didn't. And I was wondering who would release that kind of information, because it's supposed to be private.
No, it's not. Abortion is not private. It has to be reported to the Center of Disease Control, and also
it's
a health issue. Yeah. And Gummock, you know,
rate.
Philadelphia County in 2008, Black women aborted over 18,000 babies. Then 5 years later, 2013, when those kids come time to go to elementary school, they're not there, so they had to close by 38 schools. So that there is causing. I mean, if you do the tally, you have the CDC and you have a more conservative organization called Guttmacher, and if you tally the number of abortions since 1973 through, I think, 2009, it's roughly close to even 17, 18 million. That's Black women, not
18 million. Wow.
17 to 18 million. Now, if you were to equate that to what it would look like, if you were to take the people out of Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Texas, I'm talking about the whole state, Georgia. If you were to take people out of all Black people, not just Blacks, but I'm talking about people, period, those states would be completely empty.
My goodness.
And then look at the economic impact. They look at the potential business market. And, you know, on and on, and sports impact, the dollars that would have took off the table. So it just go on and on and on. Then, on top of that, you listen to the governor of Michigan, whereas he's proposing bringing 50,000 immigrants from Eastern Europe and Eastern Asia into Detroit, and hoping that they will provide economic recovery in that city.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
so anyway, give you guys something to think about.
We gotta keep our eyes open on that one. Absolutely. Well, we're out of time tonight. Thank you for joining the show. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Check out our website for information on Belize and any of the other events that are occurring, www.blacksummit.org, and join us. We're looking at changing the time to earlier on Sunday. We haven't solidified that yet, but we'll keep you posted about that as well. Anything else for you, Henrietta?
No, I don't think so. I just want to thank the caller for, presencing that information, and we'll look into it, you know, and maybe have a conversation about it next month. You know, so just stay tuned, and we'll do some research and have a, you know, have a conversation about that during Women's Month next month. But thank you for calling, Glenn. Thank you. And
good night. Good night. God bless.
God bless.